want to talk about the sugya of Schar Shabbos, as so you know. That's the Gemara on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, getting to it, continuing our discussion of Moredis that we've been talking about. And the Mishnah has a the Knas that we discussed, if the man or the woman is rebellious in the marriage. And the Gemara on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph goes through a few calculations in terms of what the amounts are. And it comes out that for the woman, it's 7 per week, right? So the Gemara says that leaving out the calculations. The Mishnah says the Mishnah says either sheva dinrin or shiva tavikin. Either way, for a woman per week it's 7, which is 1 per day. And the cheshbon that comes out, it says 3 in the Mishnah, but the Gemara says it's half of a shear per day for the man, which comes out to 6. So the Gemara asks the question: why should there be a difference that we only give 6 days worth of knas? So the Gemara says at the bottom of Samach Da'adam and Aleph, Umayishna ihi delo yehavinon, or Umayishna ihu deyehavinon le deshabbos, Umayishna ihi delo yehavinon le deshabbos. What's the difference? Ihi demifchas kapachis lo mesek eschar Shabbos. When it comes to her, when she's rebellious and we take away from the suba, that doesn't look like eschar Shabbos. Ihu de usofi kamosva, but for him, when we're adding to his ksuba, mefsik is char Shabbos. It looks like char Shabbos, which is the iser to make money basically on Shabbos, to work, do some kind of work, not necessarily work that's malacha, that would be also because of malacha, but to make money on Shabbos is char Shabbos. So since, in effect, he is making money, she is making money when he is moreid, because we're adding to the tzuba, we're adding to the amount that he's going to have to pay her. So that's like Schar Shabbos, as opposed to when we take away from the tzuba, that doesn't look like you're making any money. We are taking away from the tzuba. Just a couple points of background as far as Schar Shabbos goes. We look at the Marmar Komos on source number 1, Mishnah Brura here in Simon Shin Vav, brings out the point that the Isser of Schar Shabbos is on the Mekabel. Meaning, for you to make money on Shabbos, that is what the Isser is. And therefore, the Mishnah Brura writes, Im hu rotze, litein lo. Let's say you hire someone and you want to pay the person. Also lo lehasokir likachaschar. Elim kainun, okay, you would not be permitted for the worker to take the money. You cannot accept payment for Shabbos. Elim kainun nosin derech matana, unless it's given derech matana, which we'll get back to hopefully later. That's point number 1. And on the other hand, the Mishnah Brura does make the point, if you see Sifkatan later, I think Sifkatan Chaf Aleph, the Mishnah Brura makes the point that it doesn't mean that, let's say the Mekabel wants to get the money. So maybe you'll say, all right, if he wants to be paid, I can pay him. The Mishnah Brura makes the point, obviously not. That would be with Neiver, so you can't hire someone, even if the person says, I don't care about Schar Shabbos, I want to get paid. So it'll be with Neiver. So that's no question. There's nothing doing with a Jew. You can't hire someone, you can't work for someone. As far as the guy goes, so because the Isser is on the Mekabel, the Orchel Shabbos points out that you are allowed to hire non-Jews to work for you on Shabbos. There's not a problem to hire a guy to babysit, be a waiter, whatever it might be. Those things are permitted on Shabbos because the Isser, again, the Isser comes from making money on the person Mekabel the money, and if you're paying, you can't talk about payment on Shabbos. That's a problem, but to pay after Shabbos, or arranging before Shabbos, pay after Shabbos, would not be a problem, Schar Shabbos. But for you to work for a non-Jew, that would again be a problem, because again, you're making money on Shabbos. That's expressed here in the Salacha, in Simon Reish Mem Hei, which also brings out another point. If you look at the source number 2, in Afu Eino Yehudi V'Tanuro Sheyishol B'Shabbos, let's say a non-Jew uses the Jew's oven on Shabbos, Al Karcho, against his will, the Nostil lo pas b'schar tanur, and he says, okay, you know, thank you very much for allowing me to force you to use your oven, and now I'm going to give you a loaf of bread as a schar. Also lehenos kinenu. So not only you're not allowed to work for a non-Jew, you can't even benefit from the money that you make from a non-Jew on Shabbos, as expressed here. So that's the halacha of schar Shabbos. Before we get into some more details of Schar Shabbos, I just want to go back to understand our sugya. And from understanding our sugya, we will start to extrapolate some of the dinim of Schar Shabbos. And that, the question is the following question. We spoke a few shiurim ago, uh, last week of the Mishiva, but really three shiurim ago, or two shiurim ago, we spoke about the how to understand this din of a Morenis. What's John this Mishnah? We put in a Knas. So we said then two explanations. Either it's a Knas as an incentive to get the person to change their mind on being Morid. You're rebellious, so we give you a Knas, so hopefully you'll change your mind. Or, I think the Rashba expressed this idea that it's just, you're a bad guy, so we give you a Knas because you're Mitzayher. Let's say you Mori from past, but you're not going to sleep with your wife, so we give you a Knas because that's not, you're causing her pain. So it's just a Knas of a punishment. But either way, it's some form of Knas. So the question is, if it's a Knas, what does that have to do with Schar Shabbos? Because we fine you for what you do on Shabbos, that's considered making money on Shabbos. You're not, it's not a person out working, was not hired for this. So why do we consider that the woman made money when she worked on Shabbos? And thoughts, Danny, maybe I'm lost on the Gemara. What's the Gemara? So the Ritva has a comment in addressing a different point, but I think he deals with this issue as well. And the Ritva says the following. What did the Gemara just say? The Gemara said, in the situation where you're lowering the amount of Ksuba, when the woman is rebellious, and the punishment is we take away from Ksuba, so the Gemara says that's not Tzchar Shabbos. Says the Ritva, Mikan Hayanira, in source number 3, Mikan Hayanira Lilmod, She'ein Mishum Tzchar Shabbos, So let's say Avi was working for me on Shabbos, and Avi also owed me $100. So I say, Avi, you know what? If you work for me on Shabbos, $50 will take off your what you owe me. Says the Ritva, seems to be that's not a problem with Schar Shabbos, because that's what's happening here. I owed 200 money for the Masayim for the 200 zuz for the Ksuba. And now we're taking away from what I owe as payment to her. That's not Schar Shabbos. So maybe we should say that. That's what Ritva suggests. And the Ritva says, no. Aval yesh litchos, deshayni hacha, delam mishum Schar Shabbos pachsinon la. The whole thing has nothing to do with Schar Shabbos. It's not like that setup we just said. It's not a payment to the woman. It's not that the woman's working for the husband, and then we pay her it'd be a strange thing. The man is working for the woman, and we would be paying the man by lowering the amount of the suba that he owes her. That's not what's happening here. And rather, he says, "Ulamaris ayn hu dikla mechash." The whole thing is just a maris ayn. V'chol depachis leka marasayin. And any time you're lowering the amount, that's not marasayin. But in contrast to adding to something, you're adding money. So adding money, okay, it's true, it's not, it's a knas. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says on Shulchan Aruch. He deals with this issue in terms of being mochel. And Rabbi Kiva Eger says the reason it wouldn't have anything to do, our Gemara has nothing to do with this sugya, with this issue of being mochel a chov as a payment for services on Shabbos, says the Rabbi Kiva Eger, so it's a knas. So the whole setup has nothing to do with working. But when we're adding money to someone's, we're saying you're going to be owed more money, all right, that already looks like Schar Shabbos. It's a Maris Ayin of Schar Shabbos. And that's the Lashon, I think Lashon HaGemara he doesn't point this out, maybe others point it out, but the Lashon HaGemara is Mechzik is Schar Shabbos. The whole thing is just a Mechzik is Schar Shabbos. We're not actually dealing with the Schar Shabbos, at least not fully. And that's what he says here. Aval kol shepokes mechavo b'feirus shuschar Shabbos aser. So if Avi was working for me, and as payment we said, Avi, you don't have to pay me as much anymore. That's your payment for your work. So then that would be considered a problem with Schar Shabbos. That's what the Ritva says. And in fact, this is Paskin by Rabbi Kiva Eger and Shulchan Aruch that it would be a problem of Schar Shabbos, and the Shmir Shabbos comes down, that it would be considered a problem of Schar Shabbos to set up that kind of deal, and there's no cost for Marga Gemara, because Marga Gemara is not really, as Rabbi Kiva Eger says, the deal that the Knas is not dealing with Schar Shabbos. That's one possibility of how to deal with the fact that the whole thing seems to be a strange application of Schar Shabbos. You have something to say, Avi? No. You have something in your mind? Thinking about it. Okay. So then, there is actually another understanding, a new understanding of this Gemara, that could shed light on the on Moredis and also on Tzchar Shabbos. And that is the following. The Rambam, if you look at source number 4, it quotes this halacha, Mored Alishto, v'chulei v'chulei, says, if you go down after saying the halacha, towards the end of the second line, v'ava pisha subasa holechas v'nosefa. Even though when the man is Mored, so we go ahead and add to the ksuba, harei hu over v'lo sasa shenemar lo yigra. So he says that even though we're adding to the ksuba, he still violates the Yisr of Lo Yigra, of Onas of Yigra, that a man is obligated, one of the requirements he has to give to his wife is Ona. So what does that do with anything? Why would you think that the fact that the amount of the ksuba goes up, in effect, that he's paying her off for or he's giving her money for being a Morei, what's that to do with the Yisr of Baal Tigra, of Onas of Yigra? What's the Sheikhus? So, I really enjoy the footnotes of the new footnotes of the Rashba. It just came out a few years ago. I've been quoting it a couple times. In the old Musar Rav Kook, they only had the first parak and a half. But a couple years ago, they put out a new one with footnotes on the whole Masechta. So with a new footnote of Ilan, and he suggests Pshat in the Rambam is that the Rambam's learning that part of the Knas of at least the Mori. When the man rebels on his wife, it's yes, and you say either pshat you want to say last time, it's a knas either to get him to turn it around, or because he's making her suffer, that we throw a knas on him. But another element, additional element, is that it's a payoff to her for the fact that she's, you know, an attempt to replace the loss of Ona. I mean, she was supposed to get Ona. Kind of like, you know, you sue nowadays, what do they sue for? Like, you know what I'm talking about, like, the, you know, someone slips and falls, so they're okay, but they sue for making them feel bad. What's that called? What? Yeah, but it has a term. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. What? Oh, that's something. Pain and suffering. Pain and suffering, they call. Is that what it is? Is that a term? You heard of that. Okay. So pain and suffering, right? So what's that suffering? So there's a certain payment. So suggests Rav Ilan that Pshat in the Rambam is there's a certain payment for the emotional suffering that you're causing this woman by not having Ona. So that's what suggests is Pshat in the Rambam. And that's why you would have Havamina that maybe we wouldn't even say over the Yisr anymore, because maybe you overcame the fact that you didn't have Ona, you didn't have Tashmish with her by paying her off. Kamash, well, no, that's not the case. That's why the Ram would even have to mention it, because the Chora, it's Pashat that you're over on Bakhtir, you didn't have one with her. You didn't have Tashmish with her. So what's the Rama mentioning here as part of the halakha of the Knas? That's what he suggests. If that's the shot in the Rambam, then we can understand more how it fits into the whole Tzchar Shabbos picture, because it is some kind of payment of an obligation, meaning a man is obligated a certain amount of money to, or is obligated certain things to his wife, and he's in effect paying her off for not having kashrus with her. So in a sense, she is making money, and it's not merely a knas on him, especially because what we spoke about from the beginning, that Tzchar Shabbos is different than Makabel. If it's a knas on the person who's being moreed, so that's what has no shaykhus to the din of Tzchar Shabbos. But if it's payment that's going towards the person who's getting rebelled against, so then we could maybe fit that into the picture of Tzchar Shabbos a little bit better, and we don't have to go as far as the Ritva to say mechse, the whole thing is just a marasai. But that was a suggestion in the footnote of the Rashba. I think it's back on Daf Samech Gimel, if I'm not mistaken. But that's what he suggests, based on the Rambam, that you could actually say this is real Tzchar Shabbos here. Okay, it's not necessarily a right against the Ritva in that halakha of that being focused on the Chov, because for the woman's sake it might only be a Knas, Ayin Sham, but think about it a little more. But that's just a new mahalach in terms of understanding the knas of Moredis is this additional element, at least when the man is Mored, of paying her back for the lack of Ona. Be that as it may, we have the Yisr of Tzchar Shabbos here, either the real Yisr of Tzchar Shabbos, like based on the Rambam, or at least the Mechse Kizchar Shabbos, based on the Ritva. Now, what's Pshat in Tzchar Shabbos? So we said it's different than the Kabbal, but what's the nature of that Isser? What's the big deal? So make some money on Shabbos, what's the problem? Any suggestions? Oh. So Rashi says, it's there, Mr. Mecca Konamka. probably the pasuk shot. That's a Mishnah in Beitza. Forgot to put this on my promos. That's a Mishnah in Beitza on Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, where the Mishnah goes through a number of zeros, including why you shouldn't swim on Shabbos and clap and dance. So famous Mishnah. And in that context, so the Mishnah says a few things you shouldn't make. You shouldn't be machdish things. You shouldn't do erchin. And the Gemara explains that the reason for this problem is gezeira mishumekuk memkar. So it's all part of the gezeira of mekuk memkar. All kinds of similar business kind of transactions. That would be the problem with schar shabbos. That's the pashup shab. I put on marmakomus. I don't know if anyone got a chance. I'm not. I understand on the marmakomus, but this is gishmak ruchayim in the stencils, or now it's not stencils anymore, maybe the new editions. So there's a Rav Chaim in Shabbos, Daf Yutes, where he has a whole different mahalach on Tzachar Shabbos, and as we will go through and go see forward in the shir, potentially big nafkamina ludina. And Rav Chaim is based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Yavna Mamakomos, where the Gemara there quotes a braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Lo Yaskir Adam Kelev L'Nochri Be'er Shabbos, Rabbi V'chamishi Mutter. So you cannot rent out your things, utensils, different objects to a guy on Erev Shabbos, but on Wednesday and Thursday it is fine. So Tosis there makes a comment. Ein lefarish mishum shvisas kelim. Don't say that the reason is shvisas kelim. Ukebe shamai, the opinion of Be Shamai that not only is there a din that you can't do malacha, but your kelim can't do malacha either. Says the imkain afilu b'raviv v'chamishi nami. If it's when you're renting something out, it's still yours. So your kelim have to rest. So it doesn't matter what day you rent it out; they always have to rest. El kabeisoli. This Arab Bryce here is like beisilo. Delaysel shvisas kelim. He doesn't hold of shvisas kelim. Oh, becholak betalas chayotze behenayir. Shvisas kelim. Okay, or you can make it a kipta that certain types of kelim clothing that you don't have a dinner shvisas kelim. And Tosa says, what's pshat? The aser lefisha nira kenotos char Shabbos. It's aser because it looks like you're taking char Shabbos. When you give something on Erev Shabbos, very close to Shabbos, it just looks like a some kind of char Shabbos situation because you're making money off your kli that's being used on Shabbos. I assume pshat is, if you give it on Wednesday or Thursday already, that's, doesn't... No one's thinking on Wednesday, Thursday, oh, what's happening on Shabbos? Oh, Wednesday, Thursday, okay, you're renting out Wednesday, Thursday. It doesn't look so bad. It doesn't look like it's Shabbos. And then it would not be a problem. That's what Tosos explains. The question Rav Chaim deals with is that the Rambam and the Rif, definitely mentioned the Rif, I think he says the Rambam also, they leave out the Salacha. So they leave out the Salacha, what's Shabbos? Why? Makes sense. Why is it not Tzachar Shabbos? Chorotosis had a good shot in the Gemara. You're making money off your kelim. So Reb Chaim suggests the following. He says the yisod of Tzachar Shabbos is not like Rashi. He has a new shot in Tzachar Shabbos. Shot in Tzachar Shabbos is that if you're working on Shabbos, you're not doing anything aser, but you are whatever else thing you're doing on Shabbos, there's no malach involved. But the moment you get paid for what you're doing, that's work. That looks like work. So, and when we talk about when I'm going to work, what do I mean I'm going to work? I mean going to work. I mean I'm going to get paid for what I'm doing. So that, it's not technically malacha, but since I'm getting paid, the payment changes what I'm doing into something else around Shabbos. Okay, it's not malacha deraisa, it's still din derabanan, but it gives what I'm doing a different status. Status of malacha derabanan. Rav Sablowski, when he quoted this, gave the following mashal, that there's a Rashi in Beitza that talks about the din that you can't burn. The Gemara says you can't burn Shabbos, but basically you can't burn kachim on yantif. Why can't you burn kachim on yantif? There's mitzvah srevas kachim. There's also, we should apply the din in mitoch. You're allowed to make a fire, or at least an existing fire. You're allowed to do that for cooking on Shabbos. You should allow it also for burning the kachim. So Rashi and Beitza has a line where Rashi says, let me go get the wrong spot. Oh, no, Rashi says on Chav Zayin and Mabin, that's this one, Mama Kamas also. He says, so he says the following. Here it's different. Why don't we say Mitoch? He says, because Derachmana Achshava Lehav Arasan, the Torah gives Chashivas to Havara. They say, Ba'ish Yisarev. Hilkach Malachim. Because the Torah considers it a mitzvah to burn the kachim, and the Torah speaks about burning the kachim, memela it has the status of malacha. Even though technically speaking, it shouldn't have the status of malacha. So as he said, a derech mashal, same idea here. You have something that, since we give chashivas to it, that the Torah considers it something significant, so it has chashivas of malacha, even though mitoch should apply. So too, since we consider this, we're considering this work because we're paying you for it, so that gives a certain chashivas that makes an iser midrabanan. So now coming back to this Gemara in Shabbos, says Reb Chaim, that only makes sense if you're doing anything. You have to be doing something to. We can't. The whole iser is that the payment changes what you do into something else. It's not merely, like we were saying before, receiving payment on Shabbos that's the problem. That would be a business-like transaction. That's a problem. But it's doing something that you have payment for. But if you don't do anything, if your kalim are just being used, you didn't do anything, you're just sitting there, you're having a regular Shabbos. So what's the problem? Because there's no problem with making money on Shabbos. That's not the issue. The issue is that the payment for your services changes what you do into something problematic. So Reb Chaim, just to round out fully the pshat, so what I was found the Braisa, Reb Chaim said, if you held Shvisas Kalim are the problem, like Beis Shammai, so the Rif learns that is like Beis Shammai, then now the action that your Kalim are doing is a problem. And therefore, the Schar Shabbos, and let's say it's a cup, so you're allowed to use a cup on Shabbos, but if you, since according to Beis Shammai, your cup can't be used, according to Beis Shammai, if your cup is used, someone pays you for use of your cup, so that's similar to someone paying me for my babysitting services. It's something that's a pu'ulah ha'mutaras, and once you get paid for it, it becomes a pu'ulah ha'asurah. That's only if you say Shvisas Kalim. If you don't hold the Shvisas Kalim, then nothing's happening at all, and it's not a problem with Schar Shabbos. That's Reb Chaim's Yisod and his understanding of Schar Shabbos. In the Orchos Shabbos, and it's also in the new Reb Chaim's, they have a ha'ara from Reb Shmuel Orbach, who's also the Rebbe of the Orchos Shabbos. He quotes him a lot, and he quotes the same piece from him. And that the Yisod, even though we may not, we paskin like Tosos, regarding the actually having your kalim used on Shabbos, that would be a problem. Because Shabbos, even according to us, the Holik Beis Shammai, the Holik Beis Hillel, but still the concept is still a true Yisod. I'm not 100% sure how you make that jump. I still am not clear about that, but we're going to see there are going to be some nachdaminas that Rosh Moorbach actually, quotes from Rishon Lezion, from his father, based on this Yisod of Reb Chaim. So how it works for us, not exactly sure, but that's what the Yisod of Reb Chaim is clear, and that is that the issue with Schar Shabbos is not merely making money, but it's rather doing something that you're getting paid for doing something on Shabbos that makes that pe'ula asur. And we have a kasha from our Gemara. So in our Gemara, you're not doing anything. Nothing. Yeah, that's the problem. You're not doing anything. So the whole thing, so nothing's happening. So that's a kasha. So apparently, Reb Simcha Zeller, who was the dayan in Brisk, apparently asked Reb Chaim this kasha, or he asked his kasha on Reb Chaim Shtickel. But the answer, based on what we learned, at least certainly the Ritva, I'm not sure what the Rambam holds, but certainly according to the Ritva, you can't ask any kashas. Because our whole Gemara is a Mechzik is Chayah Shabbos. So in a Chanami, technically it's not Chayah Shabbos, but since it looks too fishy, so it would be a problem Chayah Shabbos, and that's what they, in, again, that same in Orch Shabbos and in the new Chidush and Rav Chaim, they quote from Rav Isser Zalman had this teretz. But no, it's just Mechzik is Chayah Shabbos, and it's not a problem. Okay, so that's our Gemara. Tosos. And we'll come back to this Machlokes Rashi and Reb Chaim. Tosus has, it's moving on to a new, different element of Schar Shabbos. We have a kasha from Tosus. And Tosa asks the following kasha. The Gemara in Bamatzia, we have here in the Mamakom, says the following. Hasogna sapoa lishmar sapara. You hire someone to watch a cow, watch a baby, lishmar sazrun, watch the field. Ain knows no schar Shabbos. You can't pay him schar Shabbos. Lefichei nachraya Shabbos alav. So therefore he's not held responsible for work on Shabbos, because you can't pay him for that. He's not considered I'm not sure if he's talking about a Shomer Sachar, or actually like a Shomer Sachar. He's not going to be considered a Shomer Sachar, because he's not paid for Shabbos. Hoya Schir Shabbos, but if he was hired for the whole week, Schir Chodesh the whole month, Schir Shana for the whole year, Schir Shavuah for the whole Shemitah cycle, no Schar Shabbos. Then we do pay him Schar Shabbos, we do pay him for the work on Shabbos, and Lepichach Rayas Shabbos Allah. And he does have the Achrayas of Shabbos. And Rashi there explains that the reason it's permitted when you have this lump payment for the whole week, for the whole month, is Einu Mefurish L'Shabbos. You didn't explicitly state that anything is being paid for Shabbos. Either according to Rashi, that's not really a problem of business-like transaction on Shabbos, or according to Reb Chaim, since we're not directly saying anything's getting paid, any work's being paid for on Shabbos, so it's not really a problem of changing that and being problematic, and therefore it wouldn't be an issue for Shabbos. And this is known, the Lashon of the Poskim is the Heter of Havla. And if you're hired for a bigger window of time, not just Shabbos, so the schar of Shabbos gets lumped in, mixed in with everything else, and it's not a problem. So, and this halacha according to Shulchan Aruch. I think I forgot to bring I don't think I put that part of the Shulchan Aruch on the Mar Makomos. Apologize for that, but this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Now, and Agav, that point that was shown in the Shabbos point out, based on this Rashi, that if you state explicitly, but the bottom line is, what they say is, if you state explicitly that we're paying you for Shabbos, then that's a problem. Because Rashi said the whole heter was that you avoid the whole thing. Lashon Shulchan Aruch quotes this brisa, just quotes the brisa verbatim, and then it says, and then the Shulchan Aruch says at the end, this is in Simon Shin Vav Sif Dalim, v'lo yomar tainli shel Shabbos, ela omer tainli schar hashavu achodesh. She says, when you come to collect your payment, he says, don't pay me for Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever. He said, just say, pay me for the week, pay me for the month. If you would explicitly state what you're getting paid for, that you're getting paid for Shabbos, that would be a problem. Yeah, I put Sif Hey, which I also meant to put on, but I meant to put on Sif Dal. We're going to have to read something else in there too. So that's for us in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, Tosa asks Akasha, over here, how do we cheshbon for payment? Go back to the Mishnah, Tanach, Gimel, and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hamaretas Abayla Poslam Maksubasa Shiva Dinrin. What Shiva Dinrin? Shiva Dinrin happens to be one per day, but you're paying the lump sum for the whole week. So why should Schar Shabbos be an issue at all? It should be like Havla. That's Tosas Kasha, and the Ran asks Kasha, and I think the Rosh asks Kasha. All the Rishonim are bothered here. What's Pshat? What happens with Gemara Bava Metzia? So Tosas has a very important answer. Yishlomar, three lines down at Tosas. The hacha aser mishum de lo havik mo havla. This is not really havla. The ein mosifin l'chol Shabbos yachad. It's not pshat in the Mishnah here that it's per week we add to the ksuba, or we take away from the ksuba. Elamasha ola b'chol yom v'yom. It happens to be the Tosas, the lashon of the Mishnah. Instead of saying one dinner per day, it said it's seven dinner a week. That was an easier way to say it. But it's not pshat that you get paid per week of rebellion. But you get paid per day. Or we add to the ksuba per day, we take away the ksuba per day. And in what way is this evidence? She'im yispayas hayom. If he would say today, olamachar, the emsa shavua, and he said, hey, he's fine, I won't rebel anymore, I'm done. They make up. Ein mitzdarfen kol yemei ha-shavua, zeh emzeh. We just, the added to the ksuba, or the subtraction for the ksuba, just for those days that you rebelled. So we don't say, oh, since you did half the days, so you get fined the whole week. No, it really is per day. And if that's the case, it's not really schar Shabbos. That's what Tosos and the Ran also has this distinction. That when do we say that havla is havla? It's when you pay the week, and it's like a contract per week. really a contract per day that just gets payments per week. But really, it's a contract per week. And this is important. Discuss. Let's say you hire someone to work for you. Common thing. Let's say a Jewish cleaning lady. I don't know. Examples are a little hard. Let's say a babysitter. So you want a girl to come babysit your kids. So you need a babysitter for Wednesday and for Shabbos. So you say to the babysitter, okay, this upcoming week I need you Wednesday and Shabbos. So if you're just going to pay $50 for her work on Wednesday, $50 for her work on Shabbos, and let's say come Friday you change your mind, you're not going to pay her for the $50 you would have going to pay her on Shabbos, and then that would be a problem. And even if you say, I'm going to pay you $100 total, that's not going to help you. But if you would say, I'm going to pay you $100 for this week. Now, within this week, when are you going to work? You're going to work Wednesday, Shabbos. And let's say you decide on Friday you don't need her anymore. If you're still going to pay her $100, that would be Havlah. Because Havlah, it can't be that each day is really distinct. It's got to be a lump payment for all the services of the week, or the month, etc. Well, even if she works Wednesday, then Friday you decide you don't need her, if you would still pay her $100, your agreement is that you would still pay her $100 no matter what happens, so that would be considered Havlah, because that's just $100 for the week, whenever she works. But if it would be, I'm going to pay $100 a week, but which is $50 on Wednesday and $50 on Shabbos, and Lemaise, if you would back out, you'd only pay $50, that would not be Havlah, even if you make it a lump payment of $100. Oh, so good. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses, that's a good question. The Mishnah Berurah discusses, the way we could say it, we would have to formulate it is that you really are going to pay $100, but you're also going to fine her for not showing. So the Mishnah Berurah does discuss this, and he goes back and forth a little bit, but if I'm not mistaken, I think his conclusion was that it would be permitted. Let me just see if I can find it quickly.
It would be permitted
after praying? Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah, it would permit, correct. Mishnah Berurah says here the following. The whole week together. V'rotzel omer, she'afilu im yachzor ha'po'el b'soch hazman. One second. Okay, fine. He says, Nira, da'afilu im lo eira bo hefzed. Let's say just, ach lo achshol shomar b'yom ha'Shabbos. You didn't come to work on Shabbos. Yochol l'nakos lo mischaro. You're allowed to detract, deduct from the payment. Midi da'avi im lo shomar yom acher. In the same way, it would be as if you didn't work another day. And in the Be'er Halacha, he says, I'm in the Be'er Halacha, and he discusses why exactly that should be. But l'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah says that would work, but I think it's not because it's separate days. It's just, you didn't work for me. I'm not paying you. As opposed to when the Baal HaBayis can take it back and not have to pay, that clearly shows, that's what Tosafot is saying here, that clearly shows that it's, I'm really hiring you just for Wednesday. Stop. I'm not hiring you for Wednesday. That was a good question. So that's what Tosafot says here. Now, the Achronim, so the Ramah that I wanted to put on the Ramakom, so I put the wrong Sif, as I just said before. Sif Dalet, continuing to read where I left off before, where the Mechaber quotes the Mechaber Shabbos. The Ramah appears to quote this Shita of Tosafot, he quotes the Shita of the Ram, all the same thing. And he says the following. Let's say you hire someone for a month. But you said, I'm hiring you for a month, but each day is counting as a separate day. Mikri Skir Yom. That's considered Skir Yom, and that would be a problem of Skar Shabbos. Seems to be pretty much along the lines of what Tosafot is saying. However, the Achronim chip away a little bit. Be'er Halacha quotes points out there's a bit of a jump in the Ramah from Tosafot. Again, Tosafot is talking about the case of the Moredes. Since any day you take it back, we would not charge you basically for those later days in the week. So that is considered being paid per week, not per day, not per week. Likewise, if you enter an agreement with you hire someone to work for a month and you say, I'm supposed to be working for you for a month, but in effect, really, it's payment per day, so that would be also a problem. Anyone see a gap in that jump? So, yeah. Let's focus back on the Baal Bayis taking it back, because that's the same way here, because it's the one making the payments, that's the one who's taking it back. Likewise, the man, he's the one rebelling, he's making the payments, in effect, by adding to the Suma, so he's the one taking it back. Let's focus on that comparison. So that we're talking, the main issue is the one doing the Baal Bayis, the one doing the hiring, he's the one take it back. That's what I was talking about. So one Hara of the Be'er Halacha says the following. He says that what's pshat in this Ramah? Or let's just maybe say it this way. We come to our sugya. Our sugya is payment per day. That's the din. That's the takana. For whatever reason, the Mishnah phrased it in a week. You know, it's easier to pay by week instead of paying per day. But the setup was per day. However, in this case, this scenario, when you hire someone, I think we all know, you know, when you get a job, so you have a monthly salary, let's say. It happens to be sometimes you stipulate in a contract that you have a right to take it back, you know, mid month. That's what the Ramah is saying. The employer has a right after 2 weeks if he wants to stop the contract right there and just pay for those 2 months. But in effect, really, it's really a monthly contract, just with a shus chazara. So one potential distinction. The other one, the Mishnah Berurah calls him Shus Yaakov, who argues with the Ramah and says that no, we have to make a different distinction. And that is, when it comes to Moredes, we are expecting, or certainly hoping, that the man will take back his Merida. He'll stop rebelling. When we hire a contract, we don't think, you guys are working people, so you know, you sign a contract, you don't expect that it's just going to, the employer just gonna say, after 2 weeks, I don't want this anymore. So we don't expect that to happen. So that's really more of a havla. But in a case where we're kind of walking on eggshells, where every day, it's a day-by-day thing, well, maybe it's going to go back, maybe not. So that's what we would view each day separately when we break up the payment. But when we really are hiring you for a whole month, happens to be we break it down per day. So that would be that would not be a problem with Schar Shabbos. That's Mishnah Berurah. Quotes from the Shvus Yaakov, who Lemaisa argue with this Ramah for that reason. So it comes out that in terms of how, so you know, back to just Lemaisa understanding this Havla, so everyone would agree, going back to the babysitter case, if it's really, you know, kind of a per, I think maybe even the Shvus Yaakov would agree there, if it's really a per day kind of payment, you know, where it's, you know, that kind of babysitting situation is not the same thing as a monthly contract. So that would be not be a heter of havla. Everyone would agree if you are going to pay no matter what for that period would be havla. And then we have a machlokas here between the Ramah and the Shvus Yaakov in this kind of situation where you have a shchus chazara, but it's not, you know, it's really in effect a monthly contract. Just happens to be broken down per day with, you know, the right to take it back. That would be a machlokas between them. And interesting, just to maybe highlight a little bit about this kind of interesting setup, the post can talk about, let's say you make money on interest in a bank. So what you get paid, most banks, they give you a certain amount of interest payment per month. So okay, great. So even though I'm making money on Shabbos, I make some interest on Shabbos, but that's how long I get paid per month. The problem is, I don't know enough about banking, but from what Posen talked about, I think that it's really each day is calculated. Alex is agreeing. Okay, each day is calculated. You know how much interest there is per day, and then you just get the total amount after the month. So it's really it's, Ramosha has a tshuva where he says it's really an application of this Ramah, because it's and Ramosha assumes not like a Shlosh Yaakov, assumes like the Ramah, that it's really since it's specified per day based on like this Tosos here, it would be considered a problem potentially of Shkar Shabbos. Now the good news for us, Ramosha points out, is that the banking days, okay, banking days are usually 12 to 12. So you're always going to have avla, because let's say Friday goes Friday, 12 a.m. to 12 p.m., so you have some Schar Shabbos on Friday evening, okay, but that's together with the money that you're making on Friday morning. And then Shabbos morning, you have some money, but that's together with the money you're making on Motzei Shabbos from the interest. So there's never a problem of havla. Listen, in Northern Europe, and it's mamish at 12, and right. Even so, I mean, it's like usually like 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. Yeah, pretty rare. Even if it's a 12, to have 12 to 12 be daytime, one period, that would be, I don't even know that, pretty wild. So, but what about a 2-day yontif? What about a 2-day yontif? Then you're kind of stuck. So Moshe says, a 2-day yontif, no. Speak of the Yoma. Well, that's what Moshe says. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. And even worse, what if you have, Shabbos, Friday, Rosh Hashanah, right, there it's not really one time. So let's say you have, Shabbos followed by yontif, yontif followed by Shabbos. So that's a problem. So Moshe says that when you take your money out of a bank account, when you close an account, you should leave behind some money. Or some other post goodbye, I think in the Shabbos home, they bring down a recommendation to give some money to tzedakah. But basically, some of the money you shouldn't be nana from some of the money, because some of the interest that you earn is Schar Shabbos. I think the way Ramosha says when your account closes, so whatever, you take out your account and you leave behind whatever amount of money on that. You have to be so exact.
You try to close an account.
Right, you just have to take it all out.
Like,
I don't know. They won't let you leave them, a donation to the bank?
No,
I don't know. They won't take the money. Right. Okay, so then, maybe that's why Ramosha wrote a tshuva about leave it behind. The Metzias, the Simcha Bana Kol, he wrote, more recently he says, okay, you got to take out the money, but you should give it to stuff, you shouldn't hold on to it.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's Azar Bahana. It's a Lashon of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, like maybe it's a knas on you. Right. Right. Yeah, that's right. That's for sure. So that's what what suggested in the postgame to deal with that situation. But this is. This Ramah really this Tosos, Ramah is based on this Tosos, really comes to life that when you break down a contract or some kind of Schar Shabbos situation to a per day situation versus just a lump sum, so then you are faced with questions of Schar Shabbos. Okay, so let's make a decision here. We have a lot of Schar Shabbos. We have a lot more we could talk about at Schar Shabbos. So we could try to get a few more minutes in, or just leave another share of Schar Shabbos for next week and get into the issues into mitzvah and other. Well, you know what? Yeah, we'll just go. We'll just go far. I think we'll be okay. So the next question is Schar Shabbos Makom Mitzvah. So that is the Rishonim and Aristotle you talk about. If you look at the Mordechai. Okay, you know, turn to the back. You have it on the Marmakomas here. So the Mordechai says the following. Quotes the Gemara, Mechzik, Yitzchar Shabbos, source number 9. Pasuk Baruch, Mikan yesh lich shash ala chazanim, shemaskir mosam espal b'shabbos. So Rabbeinu Baruch is a Sefer Truma. He says that I am troubled by the chazanim that are hired to daven for the Yomen on Shabbos. The Harav Rabbeinu Shmuel, Bini, my son Rabbeinu Shmuel, Omer De'enesar, the Hanosin lo schar, l'kayim ha-mitzvah lehis palel. You're paying him to do a mitzvah of damin for damin. So, not a problem. Question is, why should it be that that just because it's a mitzvah we're going to be matir? We're not matir yisurim. The makom mitzvah. What's the shvus? No, I think it's general. You're hiring someone to down for the oven. Your mom is paying. So the so one answer, a very interesting answer, the Chidush answer came on the Ha'aros on the Mordechai. So he not clear exactly what he means, but I think he's saying the following. He says that when we talk about a chazan davening for the Amr, so what's he doing? He's doing a mitzvah. Now, I often daven for the Amr. Do I get paid to daven for the Amr? Or not even a good example. Whenever we do mitzvah. We would really do mitzvahs even if we didn't get paid. We need some way to support this chazan, and so, you know, we pay him a little bit. But it's not the etzem something that requires payment. It's not, you know, you're not hiring a waiter. No one waits tables unless he's getting paid to be a waiter. But that's different than a chazan who, or anyone doing a mitzvah, you know, you would do mitzvahs. So the payment is not schar shabbos. That's what the Chidush Anshei Shem Ad Kan. So I think maybe what it means is the following, that in effect, what is that payment? That payment's not a payment. You're not working, you're not hired to work, but it's a matana. You're giving a matana. Okay, so why does that help us? So the Mordechai, in another place, the Mordechai in Beitza discusses, I won't read it, but the Mordechai in Beitza discusses giving matanas on Shabbos, in different context. And the Mordechai says it's not a problem to give matana if it's b'mako mitzvah. That's the assumption of the Mordechai, that if it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to give a matana. A very common example, this is called in Shulchan Aruch, is not so common, but let's say you have a kli, and you need to use the kli on Shabbos, and you didn't get to tovel it, and you can't tovel kli on Shabbos, that's a problem. So what do? So the Mordechai says, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, you give it as a matana to a goy, and then you borrow it back from him, the goy is kli, it's not chayim to his kli, you're just borrowing it from him, and that's your etzah. You're giving a matana on Shabbos. You're doing some kind of transaction on Shabbos, which you're generally not allowed to do. But mako mitzvah, mutter give a matana. And okay, so push the question back. Why do you just matir yisurim derabanan? Nekachu memkar. We just saw business transactions are nisur derabanan on Shabbos. So why are we okay with it? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains the following. It's here in this siman also in Simon Shin Vav. The Aruch HaShulchan says that. What's pshat in Yisr Mekachu Memkar? So I read the Gemara in Beitza before. I didn't read Rashi. Rashi says, why is Mekachu Memkar a problem? I can't make business transactions. So Rashi says, the issue is it's a Gezeira Shema Yichtov. And then he quotes another pasuk, Mumsach HaFatzecha. But the main one is, the truth is, even Mumsach HaFatzecha, the Aruch HaShulchan deals with, let's say Gezeira Shema Yichtov, you're going to write. So when you write, everyone in business knows, when you're buying and selling, and you're dealing with real things, you write things down. When you give a gift, most people, unless you have to write thank you cards, don't record gifts. You just, you know, okay, give a gift. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole concern is not such a great concern anyway. So it's true, maybe we aser matanos, just like the other aser other transactions, it's you know, pulled in as part of the general aser mekachu memkar. But it's really, the chashashos are not so strong. Even mamtzo chavatzecha implies some kind of, you know, business transaction, a back and forth, not kind of a one-way gift. So the Aruch HaShulchan says the reasons don't really apply, and that's why it's mutter. Maybe it wasn't makom mitzvah, we would just, you know, make a low plug. But so the makom mitzvah, we could be more makos. So maybe that's the Chidush Anshei Shem is setting up that Tzchar Shabbos, the makom mitzvah. It's not that it's real Tzchar Shabbos that we have a mitzvah. The fact that it's a mitzvah changes it from regular Tzchar Shabbos into a matana. And matana we already have on record, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, that you're allowed to give a matana of a makom mitzvah. That's one suggestion that the Chidush Anshei Shem has. The other explanation, the Beis Yosef, Mishnah Berurah. The Beis Yosef basically spells out, and this is in Simon Tuf Kuf Pei Hei, which is down here in the Shulchan Aruch, I have in Source 13, where it discusses hiring a Baal Tokeya, that's the context he's talking about there. And the Beis Yosef says that the whole Isser Schar Shabbos, where he got this from, not 100% clear, but he just says the whole Isser Schar Shabbos was only said when possible to avoid. You know, they didn't ask for Schar Shabbos to mess us over. So, because the Chazal knew that you need to hire a Chazal, you need to hire a Baal Tokeya. You have certain things that need to be taken care of. And because that's the case, so they didn't ask for Schar Shabbos in that situation. And that's how the Achronim answer the following Kasha. If you look in source 11, Rashi and Bamatzia says, what's the case there? The original case of Schar Shabbos? So Rashi, I just quoted one of the examples, Lishmar Zapari says it's protecting the Paraduma. And Rashi, all the examples there, I didn't put them all in the Marmakomos, but all the examples from Bab Matzia of watching the baby, watching the Zerayim, it's all B'makom Mitzvah. Rashi gives case of Mitzvah. So it seems clear, it seems to be a Raya, that it's a problem even B'makom Mitzvah. So the Taz, if I'm not mistaken, the Taz says, no, a Chazan is different, because the Chazan, it's for Shabbos. You need the Chazan on Shabbos. You need to watch, it happens to be a mitzvah over there to watch the Paraduma, or to watch the baby, I think, for Mila, as the Gemara says, or watch the fields for Tiras HaOmer. It happens to be a mitzvah, but it's not that you need to do this mitzvah on Shabbos or Yontif. So that seems to be along the same lines, that in those situations, Chazal, when you need it, Chazal never intended to make the Isser to stop you from getting things that you need on Shabbos. You need to do the mitzvah, you need to have a Baal Tokeya. So that was never included in the Isser. So that's how the Beis Yosef sizes up they did. Mamaisa, I was going to get into that. Might get into the machlokas about whether you can be mekadosh and isha on Shabbos. Interesting. Machaber Amar. If you look at source 12, Lemaisa, if you see in source number 8, there is 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "Asur lisker chazanim lisfal b'Shabbos." You're not allowed to hire a chazan to work on Shabbos. Yesh b'shematir, and there are those who permit in scharo l'shana l'chodesh kuli on Shari. That's halva over there. Lemaisa, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. It's not clear. The minog is l'hakel to hire chazanim and to hire, you know, different tzarchei mitzvah things in the shul. What I was going to go through, maybe we'll do the beginning of next time, is just different potential explanations. Makom mitzvah, we don't really want to align that. And also, if you see in source 13, based on the Gemara Pesachim, the Shulchan Aruch writes, even makom mitzvah, we might have a heter to hire someone, but in a row a simon bracha. You know, it's not good to make money doing these things. So a person whose profession or a lot of his livelihood is as a chazan, that's bad news for him. In a row some ruch, so we don't want that to be. So maybe at the beginning of next year, before we move on to the next sugya, which I haven't decided yet what it'll be, but the beginning of this year, we'll go through lemaisa, just the dais and the poskim, in terms of how to explain hiring a chazan, and then we'll move on. Great. So.